For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Psalm 46, not a long psalm, 11 verses. I'd like to read all 11. The psalmist says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, he said in verse 2, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. All of these other things will be, but God said she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And would to God that day will come soon. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And look in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Our Heavenly Father, this morning as we think of these testimonies that we've heard, and thank you for how you're moving, strengthening people. Thank you for the songs that we've been challenged by. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're enough. Enough to save us, enough to sustain us, and certainly enough to satisfy us. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we consider the scripture here, that you're a very present help. Lord, as we face a new year and say goodbye to 2023, a year that hopefully we've learned to stand better, stronger, I pray, dear God, that we would realize that you're a very present help. You're always there. And I pray, dear God, that we would avail ourselves of your help. And Lord, I pray that we'd never be a hindrance to those that are seeking you. And I pray, God, that we'd be, Lord, a blessing to others in this new year. And help us to have a boldness in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a psalm I read yesterday at Brother Louis' funeral service. As I got home, I was looking at three or four different scriptures, considering what I might share with you this morning, and I just kept coming back to this passage. I've used it many times at funerals, quoted it many times. I sign it on cards that I send. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. As we read this psalm, we're reminded here in verse 1 that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I hope that in this past year, 2023, that our theme, of course, has been having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And stand, therefore, behind the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And I trust that by the time we come to December 31st, that we've understood that that our standing is in Him. It's not just something we want to do, and we're going to take a stand, but our standing is in Him. What was it Paul said? That it's in Him and by Him and through Him and for Him. And the Bible says that we, through Him, and we live and have our being. Without Him, we can't be saved. Without Him, we can't be happy. Without Him, we can't be sustained. Without Him, we can't say no to the flesh and the world and the devil. By Him, we can have joy in the midst of suffering when we're waiting for God to answer a prayer. By Him, we move and live and have our being. And the writer of this psalm says this. I want to give you three prefaces this morning as we think about this psalm. First of all, he makes a bold statement. He makes a bold statement. He says in verse 1, God is. I think that's quite a statement. But he says this, God is our refuge and strength. He is our shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, and he's a shelter in a time of storm. He is our refuge. He's our strength. He is our buckler. He is our shield. But he is the place that we run when we're troubled. He is the place that we run to find shelter. He is the place that we go to when we're going through a difficult trial. So he makes a bold statement here. God is our refuge and strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength, but he is our refuge. He is our strength. He's our shelter. He is our protector. He is our buckler, our shield. And he says this, a very present help in trouble. As you often do, I do in my study Bible, I looked over in the reference here in the center column of my Bible and just expanding on that phrase, a very present help in trouble. It makes this statement abundantly available. He's not just a very present help. He is abundantly available. Abundantly available. I mean, you don't have to make an appointment with God. He's abundantly available. That's a bold statement. Whoever wrote this psalm certainly knew experientially that God is abundantly available to us when we're going through trials, when we're going through, and certainly David knew that. If David is the writer of this psalm, I'm not sure, but he wrote most of the psalms, but he was simply saying, I'm glad that God is always on the line. Amen. Somebody ought to write a song about that. A bold statement, a very present help in time of trouble. By the way, just because you got saved doesn't mean that the troubles end. Doesn't mean that tribulation leaves your life. We know that. Trials and temptations and troubles are certainly present. But we can boldly, as we say goodbye to a wonderful year of blessing. God's done some wonderful things this year. But as we look forward to a new year, I talk to preachers all the time. I was talking to a preacher last night up in Ohio. They need encouragement in Ohio. And he said, preacher, he said this, I believe that Jesus is coming soon. There seems to be a new excitement, a new enthusiasm about the things of God across our land. Yes, things are a mess, but I'll tell you this, we can make a bold statement and say, well, there's a God in heaven that's abundantly available for us if we'll avail ourselves of his blessings and if we'll get where God can bless us. We ought to make that bold statement. God's my refuge, not just ours, not just yours. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He is abundantly available. He's a very present help in trouble. And there's going to be trouble in the new year, as there was in the last year. A bold statement is made, but secondly, there's a bad situation that's addressed here. Look at verses 2 and 3. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. He describes here a bad situation, an unstable situation, an unstable situation. Notice what he says here. Though the earth be removed, moving. Things are always moving, aren't they? Though the mountains be carried. But he said things are worse here. The earth has been, the earth is moving. The earth seems to be shaking under my feet. The mountains are carried in the midst of the sea. The waters thereof roar and are troubled. You think about the roaring of water. He's describing that. And if you've ever been around a big water and waterfalls and water that roars and white water, I remember a few years ago, a couple of friends of mine and I, some of you know Pastor Gary Trout, pastors down in Hinton, West Virginia, he and I and Dennis Graham, the son of Billy Graham, not the famous Billy Graham, but he always said, I'm the son of Billy Graham. Dennis is in heaven now. And so we decided kind of on a crazy note. Anytime I go, I've learned if I take any trip with Gary Trout, I probably should find out where the closest ER is, the closest hospital. Take plenty of first aid equipment. And I can tell you some stories. But anyway, he said, let's go down the New River. Let's go canoeing, spend the night on the New River. And I'd done a lot of canoeing. And I said, that'd be great. I said, now I know New River's known for its white water. He said, I said, how he grew up on Hinton, Bluestone, and around the New River. He had a lot of experience on the New River. He said, oh, it's not bad. Now, I'd been on some white water on Elk River. Now, Elk River's a good bit different than New River, you know. And so he said, I've got the canoes. He said, I've got whitewater paddles. He said, we push a lot of water. He said, we'll go down. We'll find us a sandbar. We'll fish all night. We'll fish for bass in the day, and we'll catch catfish at night. We'll have a great time. I said, man, I'm all in. I was a little bit younger then. I was all in. Dennis. So anyway, we roll up there at Sandstone Falls. We were going to go from Sandstone Falls to Prince and going down partially into the gorge. And I said, now, Gary, they whitewater raft on it. He said, yeah, sometimes. He said, yeah. He said, oh, just class three, just a little bit of class three. I didn't really know what class three was. But class five is dangerous. And then, class five is danger of life and limb. And class six, you don't want to be on it. So we weren't very far from five. Well, it came a big cloud burst about the time we were unloading the canoes. We went back up to the restaurant, drank some coffee, and told some stories. And so we were a couple hours delayed. The river came up. I said, now, Gary, you know, you're not getting me into something I don't want to get in. Oh, no, brother. He said, you just stay behind me. I know the river. Just stay behind me. And he smiled when he said it. And I should have listened to the Lord on this. So we got in the river. I said to Dennis, I said, you want the front or the back of the canoe? He said, well, seeing as how I've never been canoeing, he said, maybe you ought to get in the back. I said, yes, I'll get in the back. And so the river had come up exponentially in that couple hours. We started down the river and everything was going well. And we came to the first white water. I didn't know that we were coming to the white water, but that's what we were doing. I could hear roaring. I could hear water roaring, but I looked out in front of me. I couldn't see any white water. And I'm saying to Gary, I said, what's that noise? He said, stay behind me. And he laughed when he said it. He said, stay behind me. And he said, don't quit paddling. I thought, oh God, what have I gotten into here? I said, Dennis said, what are we doing? I said, keep paddling. He said, keep paddling. And so we got into that water, and I kept hearing it. It got louder and louder and louder, and I couldn't see any water. And suddenly I could see it because we dropped down into it. There was water all around us. There was water above us. There was water in front of us, behind us, on each side of us. It was coming over the side. He said, keep digging, keep paddling. We got caught in one of those hydraulics, and we're just sitting there, you know. And I thought, if I can get a hold of him with near the paddle, I'm going to break this paddle over his head. That was my first introduction to whitewater. And we got out of it obviously alive, you know. We had a great time. Didn't catch many fish, but I'll tell you, well, it was fun. I can say I've canoed class three and four and a little bit closer to five. But I said all that to say this, the roar of the water. You ever been around Niagara Falls or some great body of water, and you hear that water? There's power in that water. There's a roar in that, and it's kind of a fearful, powerful thing. And the psalmist says here, he says, listen, in your life, there's going to be times when the earth will seem to be removed. The mountains will be carried in the midst of the sea. The waters thereof will roar. And you'll be troubled. One thing about the valley of death, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a shadow can't hurt you. A valley can't kill you. It can scare you. But we know that there's a God in heaven that's ever present and always available to help us through our time of trouble. And he says, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He said, not only are the mountains moving and seem to be removed, but he said there's a swelling of the mountains. There's an instability in all of this. We live in a day of instability. I mean, you think about a bad situation. America is in a bad situation this morning. And God is the answer. Christ is the answer. He is our refuge and strength. I mean, our nation is being invaded by so many things. I wrote down a few things today. We're being invaded, obviously, by illegal citizens. Literally. Literally. I mean, I see on the news and I think, you know, you can't make this up. Sometimes the news will make things bigger than they really are and kind of blow things up and get a little bit, and kind of embellish things. But, you know, when you're looking at hundreds of thousands of people crossing our border, we're being literally invaded. A nation that does not have borders and boundaries is not a nation. We must have laws. And in a day of instability, when it seems like our earth is being moved and mountains are being carried away and a lack of leadership and everything rises and falls or falls on leadership, I'm praying that we'll be able to pass the spiritual baton to these young people here and to the next generation if Jesus tarries, that we'll be able to leave some semblance of America behind us to the next generation. We're being invaded by illegal citizens, but we're being invaded by inflationary spending. I think about the national debt. I looked it up last night. The national debt for every person in the U.S., if we took a love offering to pay off our national debt, we would all have to individually pay $101,263 apiece to pay off the national debt. $33,910,428,805,397. That's the only number I really understood. Someone said this, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. The borrower is servant to the lender. Our nation is going bankrupt literally before our eyes, and our young people are going to pay the debt. They are paying the debt. We're being invaded by illegal citizens, by inflationary spending. We're being invaded by illicit sex. Traditional marriage is in trouble all over the world. The Bible says this, though, marriage is still honorable in all. Marriage is honorable in all, and the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I mean, he makes a bold statement because we, like they, are in a bad situation in America. Don't you know that God doesn't notice that? He does. He doesn't wink at sin. We're being invaded by the ignorance of the Scriptures. All of these things, of course, are results of people who do not know the Scriptures. Jesus said this, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We've been invaded by an ignorance of the Scriptures. That's why we have Sunday school, and that's why we have preaching, and that's why we have Sunday night services and Wednesday night services and school of the Bible and vacation Bible school and youth conference and camp and all these things and family altar. Why? Because we don't want to raise a generation that's going to be ignorant of the Word of God. We're being invaded by an ignorance of Scripture. We're being invaded by an idolatrous standing. We've made idols out of sports. I feel bad for all of you Dallas Cowboy, or I was about to feel bad for all of you Dallas Cowboy fans last night. I never stay up that late, especially to watch the Dallas Cowboys. I can't believe, I must have drank coffee late or something. And I said in Sunday school, and I just wanted to say it again, I was hoping Scott would be here today He knew I was going to say something, but the referee served up great home cooking yet last night for everybody that came to the Dallas Arlington Stadium. But we made idols out of sports. We made idols, and people are living for booze and for pills and for a thrill and for a buzz. And now it's just like everything else, just another commercial for gambling. I mean, if I took a survey, God knows our heart, but if I looked across this crowd, I'm not ignorant enough to think that somebody has not placed bets. It's so easy, online gambling, Brother John, so easy. I mean, sometimes you stand behind people that are scratching those things at the gas station. And you just want to say, hey, just give me your money. I'll flush it down the commode. I think about a nation that's given itself to drugs and booze and money. Living for the next paycheck. We're in a bad situation in America. Trying to encourage you on the last day of the year. But God is our refuge. God's called us to make a difference. I told you a couple of weeks ago when we had our last GYF conference here and Dr. Sexton preached, and so many people came down with the COVID at that time. There was a great outbreak. A couple of people in other churches even went to the hospital and passed away. I was so discouraged. I was really discouraged, and I was concerned. I called Dr. Sexton. He was in another state preaching. And I said, Brother Sexton, I said, I just want to make sure you and Miss Evelyn are all right. We've had quite an outbreak here. People are sick and in the hospital. We had 18 churches here. It was one of the best conferences we've ever had. I mean, it was tremendous. And I started getting calls from pastors. Is anybody sick over there? By the way, wash your hands when you go home today. And I said, Dr. Sexton, I just want to check. Oh, he said, we're fine. We're fine. He said, we don't worry about that. And you know, Dr. Sexton was just an encourager. He was a Barnabas. And I said, well, Dr. Sexton, I'm just honest with you. I'm just kind of discouraged about it. And he said, listen, he said, Brother Rick, he said, Ripley needs that church there. You stay by it. You keep preaching the word. He said, keep going forward and keep winning souls. He said, the greatest thing happening in Ripley, West Virginia is Ripley Baptist Temple. He said, stay with it. I need to hear that. Maybe you need to hear that today. Hey, it's a bad situation. Yes. But I'm not going to read all the headlines. We don't come to church to read the headlines. We need to come to church to hear that there's a God in heaven that's our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Yes, it's a bad situation. It's always been bad. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. But notice this, not only a bold statement, a bad situation, it's just the introduction. We have a blessed security. Look in verse 4, Psalm 46. There is a river. Hey, the mountains are moving. The waters are roaring. We're scared to death. Keep paddling. Amen. Hey, though the mountains shake, God said there is a place where there's a security. And it's in Mount Zion in heaven. God said, I've never been shaken. I've never been scared. I've never had anything take me by surprise. There is a river. There's a river, and it's a beautiful river. It's a stable river that stays within its banks. It's not a roaring river. There's a river, the river of grace, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Whoever wrote this was writing in a jubilant way about the delivery of the city of Jerusalem, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Listen, if God is in the midst of your life, you'll remain stable when the waters are roaring. You'll remain stable. You'll remain spiritual. You'll remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have a blessed security. Notice what he said. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. But notice this. Notice what he said here. He said he uttered his voice. He uttered his voice. I think of what Jesus said of the sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He uttered his voice. We have a blessed security in Jesus Christ. Now, what are we to do? As we face a new year, more troubles will be coming. There are bad situations every day. There are temptations every day. Our flesh tempts us every day. Let me give you three thoughts and we'll go home. Number one, notice in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He says here in verse 6, the heathen raged, but there was no fear in Zion. People were faltering. Isaiah said that truth is fallen in the streets, but he never said that truth failed. But it's fallen. It's been damaged, but truth marches on. Christ is our truth. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. He uttered his voice. So many speak about the battle of Armageddon one day. We'll be riding with the Lord Jesus coming back at the end of the tribulation period. And the lion of the tribe of Judah on his white horse will lead us. And there'll be no battle that day. His voice, as he speaks, Antichrist and his forces will be slain. His feet will rest upon the Mount of Olives again. And Zechariah 14 says that mountain will separate, and there'll be a great river that flows out of that east and west. And the Bible says he will walk across that valley and take his rightful place upon the throne of his father David, and he will rule and reign forever and ever. The heathen rage. Let them rage. Let them rage. The kingdoms moved. They'll be moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. When he speaks, we can have peace today. I'll give you three things I think that God would have us to do. I mean, in the midst of all this, what do we have to offer God? We have nothing. First of all, notice our action. He says in verse 10, be still. The hardest thing to do when you're afraid is to be still. God told Moses one day, he said, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When Pharaoh and the chariots were bearing down upon him, he had the Red Sea behind his back, and God said, stand still. I thought about that last night. I thought about standing still has to do with the outside. But being still has to do with the inside. Which is easier? I don't know. But we need both, don't we? We need to do this, as we've said all year, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand on the outside, stand for truth, stand for Jesus, stand in Jesus. But while you're standing, learn to be still on the inside. Be still. He said, be still, be still. That's our action. It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Everything's moving around us. Everything's changing around us. But he says this, our action is to be still. Wait on God. Nancy mentioned that a while ago, waiting on God. Waiting on God. Our action is to be still. But Lord, I think, he says, be still. But Lord, what about, he says, be still. But Lord, what about, I think of Peter who said, Lord, what about him? What about him? He said, what's that to thee, Peter? Feed my lambs. Our action is to be still. He says this, he's our refuge and strength. When everything's moving around us, everything's churning around us, everything's changing around us, and it just seems like we are an absolute minority, and we are. You and God make a majority, though. Our action is to be still. Sense his presence. claim his power, rest in his peace. Secondly, notice this, not only our action is to be still, but our assurance, notice this, be still and know that I am God. I am God. I am hath sent you. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the I am. The I am is with us. He said, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. The Lord of hosts is with us. He says this, this is our assurance. And know that I am God. And when he says that, he's saying, I'm God and you're not. Don't try to put yourself in my place. We often do that, don't we? God says, let me do what I alone can do. He says, and know that I'm God. We had Brother Louis' service yesterday. It was a sweet service. And I looked at family there, and I could just see victory. I could see victory. You know why they had victory? Because this verse was real to them. They were having God's Spirit assuring them, let me do what I alone can do in comforting you. We need assurance in these days. 1 John chapter 3, I think 1 John is really a book of fellowship, but it's also a book of assurance. And K-N-O-W is used prominently in this book. And he says in verse 24 of chapter 3, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Hereby we know. We have assurance, don't we? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he says this, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's assurance that the Spirit of God, he that has the Spirit of God can know God through his Word and through his Son. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You say, Pastor, this morning, I just don't know for sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. You can know. You can know. And you should know. God wants you to know. He says that you may know that you have eternal life. Something as big as God, something as great as salvation, don't you think that God would want us to know that we have eternal life? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know that we have the petitions desired of him. Assurance. Assurance. As we pray, we have assurance. As we read, we have assurance. As we witness, we have assurance. As we sing, we have assurance. As we teach and preach, we have assurance. God said, let me do what I alone can do. He says, be still. And while you're being still, understand that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And finally, I want you to notice, look in Psalm 46. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Notice our action, our assurance, but notice this, our Almighty God. It's not a matter of, I almost preach for Philippians, pressing toward the mark. We do that. All of that. It's not a matter of us building up, psyching ourselves up. It's not a matter of us setting goals, fleshly goals, but it's a matter of knowing him, that I may know him and his power. I mean, you think about this. Salvation is the beginning birthed in you. God regenes us. God says you are born again. The Almighty God lives in you. Why shouldn't we be able to make that bold statement? He's a very present help in time of trouble. I'm glad that you can call me anytime. I'll answer. I'll encourage you. I'll pray with you. I'll help you. But I want you to know I'm going to point you to the Almighty One. He said in Revelation chapter 11, the 24 elders are seated. The seventh trumpet is open. The 24 elders representing the church. And it says, they fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." He is our Almighty One. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty. Listen, I'm a Baptist from the top of my bald head to the bottom of my flat feet. And that's not very much distance. But all of it's Baptist. I'm an independent hellfire, brimstone, fundamental sin, hate. I'm an independent hellfire, brimstone Baptist. Amen. I'm all of that. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. We need the Almighty. The Almighty One living in us. The Almighty One. He said, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, which is and which was to come." The Almighty. When we find ourselves in the future and worrying about the future, we realize that God's already in our future. He said in Revelation, he said in Psalm 46:11, "The Lord of hosts is with us." The Almighty One. He's in control. He was in control all of 2023 when it seems like everything was spinning out of control. He was in control in 2020, which I about marked that year off my calendar, haven't you? He was in control when you were in the hospital. He'll be in control when you face your surgery. He'll be in control when you go to the cemetery this year. God is in the midst. There's no fear. There's no faltering on His part. There ought not be on our part. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he says it again in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he ends this great chapter by saying Selah. Selah is a musical note that has the idea of hold that note. Hold that thought. Hang on to that. Think about that. And I wrote in my Bible here, let that sink in. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's the Almighty One. He's the Almighty. A very present help. Having done all to stand, yes, but He is a very present help. He is abundantly available. There's no fear in heaven. There's no faltering in heaven. There's no failures in heaven. But faith will help us to bring heaven here. A very present